How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is the Zodiac speaking. I'm the murderer of the taxi driver over by Washington Street and Maple Street last night. To prove this, here's a blood-stained piece of his shirt. I'm the same man who did in the people in the North Bay area. The SF police could have caught me last night if they'd searched the park properly, instead of holding road races with their motorcycles seeing who could make the most noise. The car driver should have just parked their cars and sat there quietly waiting for me to come out of cover. School children make nice targets. I think I shall wipe out a school bus some morning. Just shoot out the front tire and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out.
Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play. The murder of Paul Stein had now been claimed by the Zodiac Killer. He seemingly chose his victims at random. He was varying his hunting ground and his MO. A month after the brazen murder, the Zodiac began a stream of letters that would stretch into the fall of 1970. He was a killer who didn't like to leave the dust to settle. He liked to move things along, come back with his next game, before the public and police had managed to get their heads around his old one. For now, he stopped killing. Instead, the Zodiac used his pen and his imagination to continue to instill fear and keep everyone relentlessly pursuing his trail.
November 1969. The threats in the Zodiac's latest letter focused on the most innocent and vulnerable in society. Children who had no means to protect themselves. He did not specify which school he intended to target with his chilling plan. School bus drivers were asked to keep their buses moving at all times. If they were to come under attack, they should flash their headlights and beep horns to attract as much attention as possible. The authorities put guards on the buses in an attempt to deter an attack. Armed officers followed bus routes, scanning the road for anything suspicious. With the Zodiac's most recent threats, the state attorney's office became involved, bringing together leads and investigators from Napa County, Vallejo, and San Francisco. California Attorney General Thomas Lynch issued a bold plea directly to the Zodiac, urging him to hand himself in. He asked him to recognize the inevitability of his eventual capture. Surrendering now before further bloodshed was the only rational course of action. It was an appeal that was not accepted. A letter postmarked November 8 arrived at the offices of the San Francisco Chronicle. The familiar "rush to editor" words were scrawled on the front of the envelope. Inside was a greeting card and a new cryptic cipher.
This is the Zodiac speaking. I thought you would need a good laugh before you get the bad news. You won't get the news for a while yet. P.S. Could you print this new cipher on your front page? I get awfully lonely when I'm ignored. So lonely I could do my thing. Des July, August, September, October equals 7.
His latest letter gave a count of 7, presumably reflecting the 5 lives he had already taken and 2 he had almost claimed. The new cipher was 340 characters long, and a perplexing mix of both letters and symbols. It was immediately analysed and sent to the experts in an attempt to crack the code. It would take 51 years and a team of code programmers and mathematicians to finally break it. Find out the extraordinary story of how they did it on our bonus episode exclusively on Patreon.
On November 11th, another letter arrived at the Chronicle. This would be the longest letter the Zodiac would write. Across 7 pages, he expressed his displeasure with how he was being talked about. His anger was at the police specifically, and the lies he felt they were spreading about him. To retaliate, he said he would no longer announce his kills. He would simply take life. His kills would be homicides that they would not be able to distinguish from many of the thousands that happened every day. The Zodiac was threatening to blend in.
The police shall never catch me because I have been too clever for them. I look like the description passed out only when I do my thing. The rest of the time, I look entirely different. I shall not tell you what my disguise consists of when I kill. As of yet, I've left no fingerprints behind me, contrary to what the police say in my killings. I wear transparent fingertip guards. I enjoy needling the blue pigs. Hey, blue pig, I was in the park. You were using fire trucks to mask the sound of your curing prowl cars. The dogs never came within 2 blocks of me. P.S. 2 cops pulled a goof about 3 minutes after I left the cab. I was walking down the hill to the park when this cop car pulling up to me. 2 of them called me over and asked if I saw anyone acting suspicious or strange in the last 5 to 10 minutes. And I said yes. There was this man who was running by waving a gun, and the cops peeled rubber and went around the corner as I directed them. And I disappeared into the park a block and a half away, never to be seen again. Hey, pig, doesn't it rile you up to have your nose rubbed in your boo-boos?
His confidence and arrogance were growing. In the remainder of his letter, he changed his threat towards school buses. Instead of shooting children, he now planned a fertilizer bomb, which he described in detail. He called his creation the Death Machine. He finished his letter with an ominous single-line threat.
P.S. Be sure to print the part I marked out on page 3, or I shall do my thing.
The following day, San Francisco officer Donald Fuch made an addition to his statement for the night of Paul Stein's murder. He was one of the first attending officers to the scene. He noted when responding to the crime scene, he had passed a white male 2 streets away from where Paul Stein's cab was located. The radio dispatch had described the suspect as a black adult male. Officer Donald said he continued driving towards the scene of the crime. When he arrived, he discovered the suspect's description had changed. The male figure Officer Donald and his partner saw may have been the Zodiac Killer, leaving the murder scene of Paul Stein. Officer Donald has always denied the Zodiac's claims that they had any direct communication. Alongside these November letters, the Zodiac included a 2nd piece of Paul Stein's clothing. Soaked in his blood, there was no doubt it was taken from the crime scene. The Zodiac wanted it known and proven that he was Paul Stein's killer.
Almost 5 months later, the case of the Zodiac would take a frightening and unexpected turn. On Sunday, March the 22nd, 1970, 22-year-old Kathleen Johns set out on a journey from San Bernardino to Petaluma in California to visit her mother. It was late and dark when she left her home. She had a 10-month-old daughter with her, and Kathleen was 7 months pregnant. Approaching Modesto, she turned onto Highway 132 and noticed a car trailing her, flashing its lights. The male driver approached, claiming her rear wheel was wobbling, and offered to fix it for her. Minutes later, as she thanked him and tried to drive away, the wheel fell off its mounting and into the road. Kathleen accepted a lift from the stranger, who promised to take her to the nearest service station. Instead, he drove around the area for several hours, circling the quiet country back roads, refusing to take her for help. At a stop sign, as the man slowed the vehicle, Kathleen flung herself and her daughter out onto the grassy verge before running into the fields. After she watched her abductor drive away, desperate for help, Kathleen flagged down another driver. At Patterson Police Station, she was described as hysterical. As she was giving her statement, she spotted a composite suspect's sketch on the police notice board. She told officers that was the man who had abducted her. The image she was pointing at was the sketch on the wanted poster for the Zodiac. Officers found her car on the highway where she had pulled over. It had been burnt out and now sat as an empty shell. Subsequent interviews with Kathleen revealed additional harrowing details of her abductor repeatedly threatening her life. If the man who had abducted Kathleen Johns was the Zodiac, he had moved from attacking couples to attacking lone cab drivers. Now he was targeting lone females with their children. It seemed there was no one safe from this individual.
On April 20th, another letter from the Zodiac landed on the mat of the San Francisco Chronicle. The Zodiac had written a line of 13 letters and symbols suggesting the solution to this cipher would reveal his name. It is not a cipher that has ever been solved. His count of victims now stood at 10. It left detectives puzzled and concerned. Either the Zodiac had killed more people than police knew about, or he was boasting in increasing his kill count for effect.
This is the Zodiac speaking. By the way, have you cracked the last cipher I sent you? My name is... I'm mildly curious as to how much money you have on my head now. I hope you don't think that I was the one who wiped out that blue meanie with a bomb at the cop station. Even though I talked about killing school children with one, it just wouldn't do to move in one someone else's territory. But there's more glory in killing a cop than a child, because a cop can shoot back. I've killed 10 people to date. It would have been a lot more except that my bus bomb was a dud. I was swamped out by the rain we had a while back.
8 days later, he followed up his letter with a postcard. On the front was a colorful drawing, a cartoon green dragon on the right and a donkey on the left, both with small figures and hats, riding on their backs.
Sorry to hear your ass is a dragon. I hope you enjoy yourselves when I have my blast.
The text read, next to the now familiar Zodiac symbol, a circle with the cross through the middle was scribbled P.S. on the reverse side of the card, the black handwriting and neat printed letters jumped out.
If you don't want me to have this blast, you must do two things. Tell everyone about the bus bomb with all the details. I would like to see some nice Zodiac buttons wandering about town. Everyone else has these buttons like Black Power, Melvin Eats, Blubber, etc. Well, it would cheer me up considerably if I saw a lot of people wearing my button. Please no nasty ones like Melvin's. Thank you.
The Zodiac wanted the public to know his threats. He wanted his ideas and plans for a bomb on a school bus to be shared. More than that, he wanted buttons made containing his symbol that people would wear, and he could witness. It was a game of power.
Now, the reason we called this meeting was that it's obvious that the suspect in this matter is referring to a bomb. And for some time, we've had knowledge of this bomb. In the letter which we received on the 10th of November, which he indicates that he is going to make a bomb, and in several letters which we received since, he mentions a bomb. For our own purposes, we have elected, in cooperation with the press media, not to publish this. But we feel at this time, because there is an implied threat on the part of the suspect, that this is something that we must do.
The reason you're releasing this tonight is to keep him from using the bus bomb, is that the idea? Or to have this blast he talks about?
The inference that we can draw from his letter is that on the cover, as I indicated, it says, "I hope you enjoy yourselves when I have my blast. P.S. Read the back." On the back it says, "If you don't want me to have this blast, you must do two things. Tell everyone about the bus bomb with all the details."
What are you doing about the probability of a bus bomb?
Since the inception of this, we've taken whatever precautions we can about this. The bomb, as he described it to us in the past, consists of a bomb planted in the street or alongside of a roadside, which would be triggered when a school bus passed by.
Well, did you make the decision to reveal this to the public in the hopes that this will deter him from setting off this bomb, and if you did not hold this press conference, he might indeed do it?
Yes, sir. In conjunction with Chief of Police Nelder, we decided that it would be best to release this information to the public.
Almost exactly 2 months later, another letter came to the door of the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper. The Zodiac had now become angry. His demands were not being met. His response was violent and threatening, once again issuing a threat, and this time adding a timescale into the mix.
"This is the Zodiac speaking. I've become very upset with the people of San Fran Bay Area. They've not complied with my wishes for them to wear some nice Zodiac buttons. I promised to punish them if they did not comply by annihilating a full school bus. But now school's out for the summer, so I punished them in another way. I shot a man sitting in a parked car with a .38 caliber. The map coupled with this code will tell you where the bomb is set. You have until next fall and dig it up."
Along with his words came a scorecard. Zodiac 12, SFPD 0. A tally of kills against a taunt at the San Francisco Police Department for failing to catch him. At the bottom of his letter, he had written another 32 letters and symbols across two lines. And he had enclosed a map suggesting, along with the code, it would reveal where he had set his bomb. The code has never been cracked.
By the time July 1970 rolled around, the Zodiac was still writing and sending in letters. His tone became angrier and his threats continued. On July the 26th, the Zodiac claimed to have abducted a woman before setting fire to her car, a claim that appeared to reference the abduction of Kathleen Johns. Within days, another meandering letter was received. He spoke of the Zodiac buttons once again, and demanded people wear them or he would torture all 13 of his collected slaves. What followed was pages of text written like a macabre song, with rhyming phrases and repeated lines. The Zodiac was having fun with his writing.
"This is the Zodiac speaking. Being that you'll not wear some nice Zodiac buttons, how about wearing some nasty Zodiac buttons? Or any type of Zodiac buttons that you can think up. If you do not wear any type of Zodiac buttons, I shall, on top of everything else, torture all 13 of my slaves that I have waiting for me in paradise. Some I shall tie over anthills and watch them scream and twitch and squirm. Others shall have pine splinters driven under their nails and then burned. Others shall be placed in cages and fed salt beef until they're gorged, and I shall listen to their pleas for water, and I shall laugh at them. Others will hang by their thumbs and burn in the sun. Then I'll rub them down with deep heat to warm them up. Others, I shall skin them alive and let them run around screaming. And all billiard players, I shall have them play in a darkened dungeon, all with crooked cues and twisted shoes. Yes, I shall have great fun inflicting the most delicious of pain to my slaves. As someday it may happen that a victim must be found. I've got a little list. I've got a little list of society offenders who might well be underground, who would never be missed. Who would never be missed. There's the pestilential nuisance who write for autographs. All people who have flabby hands and irritating laughs. All children who are up in dares and implore you with implat. All people who are shaking hands, shake hands like that. And all third persons who with unspooling take those who insist. They'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed. There's the banjo surrender and the others of his race and the piano organist. I got him on the list. All people who eat peppermint and foam fit in your face. They would never be missed. They would never be missed. And the idiot who praises with enthusiastic tone of centuries, but this in every county but his own. And the lady from the Provences who dress like a guy who doesn't cry, and the singularity abnormally the girl who never kissed. I don't think she would be missed. I'm sure she wouldn't be missed. And that mice impriest that is rather rife and judicial humorist, I've got him on the list. All funny fellows, comic men and clowns of private life, they'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed. An uncompromising kind such as whatchamacallit, thingamabob and likewise, well, never mind. And tut-tut-tut-tut, and what's his name, and you know who. But the task of filling up the blanks, I rather leave it up to you. But it really doesn't matter who you place upon the list, for none of them be missed. None of them be missed.
Some lines in this letter have been taken from the musical The Mikado by Gilbert and Sullivan, originally premiering in London in 1885. The little list song in the musical detailed a list of offenders in society who could be executed and not be missed. The Zodiac has toyed with the song and copied its style to provide his own descriptions of the torture he would inflict if he didn't get his way. He suggested he could select victims that would not be missed. He could continue to kill and get away with it.
As the vibrant colors of summer 1970 transformed into the golden hues of autumn, the chilling crimes and ominous messages of the Zodiac Killer gained wider attention. News outlets beyond local news began reporting on the escalating situation. While the Zodiac's demands grew bolder, there was an identifiable sense of frustration and disbelief from him as his demands were unmet. His insatiable desire for control seemed to be the driving force behind his actions. His next move would be calculated and manipulative, designed to thrust him back into the spotlight. His threat was not only sinister, but also highly targeted, aimed directly at a single individual.
There's a lot on the line in a divorce. Your home, savings, retirement, maybe even kids. So when you find yourself facing divorce and the unexpected directions it can take, you really need a partner you can count on. I'm Rick Julius, a partner at Cordell & Cordell. We're committed to helping protect your personal interests and the life you've built. Don't let divorce take more than it has to. Talk to us today.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Boston area attorneys. 10 Cabot Road, Suite 210, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.